Welcome to the Craig and Greg Show, presented by Maximize Leadership. Here are Craig Owens and Greg Harris.
Hey, this is Craig from the Craig and Greg Show. I'm alongside Greg. Greg, I want to share with you something John Maxwell wrote. He said a study of 105 executives determined many of the characteristics shared by successful executives. One particular trait was defined as the most valuable. They admitted their mistakes and accepted the consequences rather than trying to blame others. Why is it that we have come to believe that our workplaces, our organizations are supposed to be mistake-free places?
I don't know. I don't even know why I'm doing this episode. I've never made a mistake, so I'm not really sure.
Right. Well, that's it, folks.
That's
we'll
it.
See
we'll
you next
talk
time.
To you later. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the episode. In humility, I would say I've had success, but I could write one book. I could write three books on mistakes getting to success.
Sure.
And I think that's the freedom we wish to share with the audience. And actually, it's a good reminder for you and me. Mm-hmm. There's a, you know, Michael Jordan could be the best basketball player ever for some debates, but one of his quotes fascinates me. It's, I never made a shot I never took. And I kind of thought about that as like a yogiism from Yogi Bear, like, make a shot I never took. Yeah. Well, duh. And I think that's for us in leadership. If we don't dare try something, we'll never grow our people.
Yep.
We'll never grow our company.
Ourselves.
Or ourselves. And so I think mistakes have been told maybe by parenting through the generations, you know, don't mess up. And I'm not sure that's true because most people have made mistakes. Maybe they don't want to talk about them.
Right.
But if we made it normal, like, not, hey, don't keep making them, sure, but learn from them. So I think the challenge, unfortunately, Craig, for mistakes with leaders is we want to punish it if we're the leader, right? We have the hammer.
Right.
But we don't want to share it if we're the leader because now we're almost not perfect.
Right.
And we aren't.
I love my wife has in her classroom, and it's
you love your wife too, don't you?
Yeah, I do love my wife too.
Come on, here we go.
But it's the bulletin board straight ahead when her students walk into the classroom. They see it right over here, and she has big letters across it and says, our classroom is a safe place to make mistakes.
Mm.
And then down below, she has some of the things where people, when they make a mistake, where they go, you know, they're trying something, they make a mistake, and then they go, I don't understand this. And then she's got the other part of the puzzle piece that goes with it that says, I don't understand this yet.
Ooh.
And so it's, I think that instead of making people think that a mistake is the dead end, that's it. Well, made a mistake, game over, episode over, let's just go home.
Right.
But to say, you made a mistake, okay, what can we learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we move forward as a result of this?
I think for the leader, if you lead with a mistake, like I've made plenty, and you get to speak for a living, I enjoy sharing. I've made a lot of mistakes. I probably could write more books on that than actually on the successes, but we expect success.
Yes.
And it's not perfection, though. Right. I think that's what we need to tell people. It's not about being perfect. When someone doesn't try, now their organization's going to get dry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And unfortunately for people, they're more worried about their jobs and making the company better.
Yeah.
And so we got to do a better job.
Yes.
You know, as leaders, it's like, why would they be nervous? What the heck are we doing wrong?
Well, that's the thing. I think that, you know, I've heard like people talking before about if you were primarily on the phone, you know, have a mirror. And so you could smile when you're on the phone and then because it comes across in your voice. But, you know, I think that as leaders, another good spot for us to have a mirror is our facial reactions when one of our people comes in and says that I made a mistake. Because if your brow starts to furl and you start to cross your arms like this, you may not even realize you're doing that.
Mm.
What signal are you sending to that person? Like, oh man, you made a mistake. We're in big trouble now. But if your if your response changes, if you like, oh, okay, well, you made a mistake. I've made those mistakes too. Let's pick it up from here and go. I think that it has to start with what message are we conveying to that person when they come in and say, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I would subscribe for us as leaders, Craig, and the audience, maybe aspiring a little more humility and grace, two cool words for us leaders, allows for a mistake-oriented experience learning culture, whether that's business, school, church, even your family. I had a conversation with my youngest daughter last night because I was preparing for today. I know, surprise. And I said, hey, how do you feel about making mistakes? It's okay. No, it's actually permissible. And she goes, oh, I don't want you to make the mistake that hurts you and do it again.
Right.
But mistakes are going to happen. And you could just almost feel, and this is just a dad to a daughter at the table. It was like a relief, like weight came off. Mm-hmm. And she's never heard me say, you make that mistake one more time. I've never said that. I've never raised my voice. But I needed her to know it's permissible. And fortunately, she's a wordsmith and she knew what permissible was. So I think giving them that is part of it. Like, I'm setting the table for us to make mistakes.
Right.
You know, I think that's been a great lesson for me on, all right, so now what do we do? Versus the, you know, number 11.
Yeah.
Oh, those golly, I got to do this. I didn't come into work today to fix your problem, you know. But that's leadership.
Yep.
Problem solving was an episode previous and it kind of does this. Mistakes allow us to actually show grace.
Well, I think about like a baseball player that's in the Hall of Fame that because of their hitting prowess, what would be an excellent career batting average for being in the baseball Hall of Fame?
300 or more.
Okay. So that means that 7 out of 10 times
at excellent.
The plate, you're not being successful. Mm-hmm. But those people that have that high batting average, it's after that they're back in the dugout processing. They don't just go, oh, man, you know, I went up to the plate four times today and I only hit the ball one time.
I'm a 250 hitter.
I might as well just hang it up.
Right, yeah.
But they're able to process and learn.
I think some of the sports analogies, which there are a lot of other analogies, but sports is a big one. You take a quarterback. His completion percent is over 60. So he threw 40% of his balls in the ground. Or the wrong target.
Yeah.
You know, I've played that position as quarterback a couple times, and I tended to throw to anybody just to get my completion. It's not that funny. That's actually a story. So I'll share a little bit about mistakes. So I'm playing college football. It's against a rival or a nemesis or an enemy, however you want to say it. And we're playing for the championship. And we've had a couple good years, and we've got a good team going and good coaching staff. And so I went in there probably a little overconfident that we were running the table. We're going to win the league. Well, after the third interception to this team, my coach got me on the sidelines and he says to me, are you colorblind? He didn't give me the number 11.
No.
You know, and I felt bad. And I've coached a long time for sports. I've never told a player you lost the game. I'll still say this. I lost that game. There's no way you give the ball to the other team three times when you should have scored and beat them by 28 points. And we lost by one. No one else made any mistakes that were three interceptions. But the colorblind one was a pretty cool and classy way of a leader, my coach, who I just had lunch with yesterday. After a couple years, I've not played college football. So, but I think it's so fun to be able to say, this is the mistakes we make.
Well, let me back up.
Though. And it wasn't the end of the story either.
So you went on, you had a season with your team where you went undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
But let's rewind. You actually scored on the very first time that you ever came in to
by the
college
way,
football
by
game.
By the way, that is an NCAA record still today.
Yeah.
So long story short, my coach had too much confidence in me, and he says, hey, go on in. I was a freshman. We're up 28-0. The defense has got a shutout. Playing great. We're playing down in Indiana at Valparaiso, Indiana. Plug for you. It's a good school. And they had those cannons in the corner of the end zone, and they shot those big bomb caps off when points were scored. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they would ever celebrate ours, but they celebrated our touchdown. So they would cap off 7 cannons. I'm like, so they're celebrating our points? It was kind of cool. So I thought, well, I want to score. I want to hear the bomb, you know. So we stop them. They punt the ball. Goes over the receiver's head. Goes all the way down to the 1-foot line. So I'm looking at 99 yards. That's why it's a record. You know, it's so far away. So coach goes, you want to go in? Well, of course, I had dry mouth. I'd love to go. Yeah, I'd love to. And so I called a quarterback sneak, which is what he called, and I fortunately lined up behind the center. I mean, it was
a
little nervous. It was my first
play. Other one of your guards might have been a little surprised.
He might have stood up. Like, right. You have the wrong spot. Yeah. So anyway, the center heights me the ball. I take a step back. I slip in the soil, and I put my knee down as a safety for the other team. That's how I scored my first time for another team. I walked 45 yards across the field to see my team and coaches like this. Well, I felt like walking home from Indiana. It's quite a long walk, but I thought, you know, I might as well just hang it up. So my mistake was I scored for the other team. I went back in. Fortunately, the coach believed in me, and we scored 49 points. So we had 28, so I scored 21 more points, but I did give them two. And it really was a launch point for, wow, I wasn't expecting to start this way. Mm-hmm. What rallied was the mistake I made. My teammates didn't let me stay there.
Yes.
And that's a great culture.
Yep. And that has to start with the coach. It has to start with the leader at the top.
For sure.
That is inculcating that to everybody on the team that mistakes are not fatal. We can learn from the mistakes. We can move forward from that. And I think that's why it kind of bothers me when people are talking about, you know, this is a mistake-free environment. We never made. Well, then you're not really trying anything. You know, if you're not making any mistakes, then you're in a rut, and you might as well just have robots do all the work because there's no thinking that's necessary or needed here.
And no one grows.
No.
And I know it sounds silly. I mean, you know, we're both dads, and you know, our kids make some mistakes, and you're like, hey, maybe we should talk about that so that doesn't get repeated, because it's a tough dig out of that hole you just made. But we don't leave them there without a shovel or a ladder or a rope. Sometimes we jump in to get them out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the leader has got to really chase after kind of that phobia of mistakes. I don't think an organization is going to be its optimum. And I don't think people who make the organization are going to be at their optimum fearing mistakes. And right. I think that's a top fear, like fear of failure, fear of mistakes. It's pretty up there. I know sitting in a coffin with spiders on Fear Factor is bad, but this is bad. It's a really scary thing for people. Right. Like, I just don't know if my boss is going to, you know, hammer me for this. And it's almost paralyzing for people.
Yeah. And that's where, so, you know, leaders where you can really make a huge impact in your organization is the way your first response when you find out about a mistake, the way that like maybe Greg's coach and Greg's team did, like, okay, keep your helmet on. You're going right back in there. When you come alongside somebody and say, hey, you made a mistake. That's okay. We can learn from this. We can move forward from this. This isn't fatal, but that's going to really build not only, I think, leadership credibility with you, mm-hmm. but it also creates that environment where people are wanting to invest in other people, and they're not trying to pass the buck, like, oh, well, I only did that because they everybody's, you know, just passing it somewhere else.
Right.
People are like, okay, look, you know, it was me. I should have done this. Okay, well, great. Let's pick it up from there.
I feel, I think there's a quote from Edison, you know, I've become a success at failure.
Yeah, I've had a lot of success from failure.
From failure, it's just so freeing, you know, and yet a leader, why are we stingy about that?
Yeah.
So our challenge to you all is don't be stingy. Give people permission to try. Right. I know sometimes you don't want to have an expensive mistake.
Sure.
But expensive means what? Right. It's still a lesson. So I've done a lot of speaking in my life. So have you, buddy. It's a privilege to share. And a lot of times we, you know, give the humble part of, I'm just here because God wants me here. I'm no better than you all. So I've done a lot of commencements for schools, primarily alternative eds, kids who, you know, some schools didn't want. And I start off often with that story about, you know, I scored, because they all want to know, you know, were you good? You know, no, I wasn't good. But they want to know, did you score your first time? Well, tell us all about this. And I tell them I scored a safety. And they're like, I said, that's why you're in this school, because you made a mistake, but it's not permanent. And my coach sent me back out there, and this school is going to do the same thing for you. Go back out there.
Yeah.
Don't hide in your room. Don't hide in your car. Don't hide in a closet. Don't walk away. Don't quit. Don't feel defeated, because I could have walked all the way home from Valparaiso, Indiana. I was not interested in playing again, not what I just did. And everybody said, no, we need you. We need that mistake. And so my coach used that story a lot. This might be the best player ever to play for our college or university, but his first play was a mistake. And recruits would be like, nah, really? Yeah, seriously. So we've had those where you watch an NFL story, and you know, the guy has 21 interceptions his rookie year. Yeah, because he's inexperienced. He's trying to put a ball in a tight spot for the receiver, or forcing it, or, you know, he's feeling the pressure of winning. And so I think for us as leaders, sharing mistakes is quite freeing. Mm-hmm. And you can help them grow. Like most of the audience at an alternative ed graduation for me when I do a commencement was like a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, so you're not going to tell us, you know, what to do. You're not going to look down on us.
Right.
You're actually, and I've said I'm probably fortunate I didn't get caught with all the mistakes, you know, from having a record or a parole officer or just being mischievous. I'm very fortunate I didn't get caught. So some of you got caught. I didn't, but I still have to learn from mine. Mm-hmm. The consequence yours was maybe different, but it's still a mistake that you can learn from. So they'll ask questions, they'll do Q&A. It was kind of fun. So you'll be like, what were some of your highlights? And I can honestly say, I could think of a few highlights, but I certainly can tell you the things I didn't do well, you know, like fumble the ball on fourth down and one by the end zone. That was a bad, you know, throw three interceptions when I'm colorblind, et cetera.
Right.
But I think they need to know, you know, that not only did you make a mistake, but you came back. And that's what I wish to tell all of us leaders to for your life too. You've made mistakes. So I find it interesting. I think the bragging about maybe or just sharing the successes is a little odd anyway, because it's in context back then.
Right.
Not today.
Right.
You know, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is just a phenomenal quarterback, and he's what, 26, 27? I'm like, wow. I mean, but he makes mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they lost.
Yeah.
But he didn't cause a loss. He just made mistakes.
Right.
But he's trying to do stuff, and that's okay. I think that's what we need to do as leaders. Try.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't work, try.
Absolutely.
You know, take initiative. Try. You've got examples.
Well, I think, listen, one of the main principles that we have really promoted numerous times on these episodes and tried to say to you is it starts with the leader. As the leader goes, so goes the rest of the organization. And so let me just echo what Greg just said. You know, leaders, you've got to try things for yourself. And if they don't work and they make a mistake, you got to be honest about it with your team and say, here's the lesson that I learned. But then you also got to monitor your response when somebody else comes to you and says, I made a mistake, that, you know, you don't furrow your brow, you don't cross your arms, you don't scowl at them, but you come alongside and say, okay, I've made mistakes too, but let's learn from this and go forward. So it's got to start with you. Pay attention to yourself. Get a mentor around your life. Check out our coaching huddles where we can come alongside and help you. But if you want your organization to grow, you're going to have to allow those mistakes. It's going to have to start with you. So
I have a quick question. So I was just talking to someone coaching yesterday, and I said, hey, his name is Roger. And I said, hey, Roger, what do you fear for this year? Well, I just want to meet my goals. So you fear not making your goals. Yeah. So how do we back up down the road to give you the tools to be more successful and feel better about it? And he goes, well, I just fear making a mistake. And he happened to bring it up. And I said, so what's the mistake cost you? Well, could cost you a client, could cost you maybe a little favor with the company. I said, but you're trying. How many other people in your organization aren't trying, but they don't make mistakes?
Right.
And that was his aha. So I got a quick quote here about innovation and effort. Fear, I have found, paralyzes innovation and effort. Okay. So for us leaders, if you want the best out of your people, empowering them, believing in them, you also got to give them a chance to make a mistake.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So it does have to start with you, and let us come alongside and help you. So you could check out at maximizeleadership.com, the coaching huddles information there. You can reach out to us by sending a message to us on Twitter at Maximize Podcast, or even leave a comment below on this video, and we can get back to you. on these videos. We want to share those general principles with you. Our coaching huddles, we're going to get really specific, ask some questions, and go back, like Greg said, we'll go back up the line and help you with some aha moments and then help you with some implementation of some ideas going forward. So that's what we're around to help you do. So reach out to us so we can be a resource to you. Stay tuned. We got more content that's coming up for you soon.
Get in touch with Craig and Greg through Twitter at Maximize Podcast or at MaximizeLeadership.com. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes of The Craig and Greg Show.